Kelly's Heroes.
Lockdown.
Okay, so my next guest. I've never been more impressed with the CV. I'll just call you John. Where are you, mate? He's a household name. And he's a brilliant actor to boot.
Hello.
Mr. John Sim, my gosh. First of all, mate, I'm so sorry for my tardiness. I mean, it's embarrassing, you know.
Outrageous.
Do you know what, though? That really stressed me out, your text. I was like going, no, I felt really, really unprofessional.
I was trying to find a gif of Ian Brown going, amateurs.
Listen, man, you can only imagine what my setup's like, man. It's intense. It's relentless, and I'm recording from my airing cupboard.
Jesus.
Yeah. Well, I've asked for his help many times. if there is banging and so on and so forth, well, you know. We're just going to have to go with it, mate. This is very exciting for me, John, right? Because I've known you since I was 16, right? Yeah. You are a great mate of mine. We don't see each other as much as perhaps we would like, but that's okay.
These things happen. We had our formative years together. We did college and drama school.
We did, mate. We did. Do you remember Trauma Centre?
Yeah, it's all gone now, darling, all gone.
But do you remember that first term was so bad and so rough for us? I think we were clinically depressed. We both actually applied for RADA.
Yeah, I know. I tried to get in, RADA.
We were desperate. I mean, I think...
Yeah, we were very... we were just shocked, weren't we? Because we've been, like, in a little snuggly college doing West Side Story.
Yeah, yeah.
Suddenly it was, like, an absolute nightmare.
Well, yes, I think you've described it well. And you know, we were babies. And I think in the first week, to be thrust into a leotard with a little pot belly... You know,
we didn't have pot bellies then.
Oh, I did, mate. I had that bear belly. No, yeah. Once said to me, "Well, my little pudding."
No, he said to you. he said to you, when you were doing like a pirouette. I don't know. You were holding your hands above your head with your leg up, and he was testing everyone, and he didn't. And he went, "Oh my god, have you had an accident?"
Do you know what, mate? I've never got over that. Me and you, we were as close can be. You know, we helped each other and...
We had a great time. And in Blackpool, you know, it was often overlooked. That was a fun time.
Oh, my God, yeah. Do you know what, man? I mean, this is great because we've gone completely off script here, completely on a tangent. I will go back to the kids' questions because they're nice. And I'm very interested to hear your answers. Yes. When I turned up there... Right? I was 16. And then I met you. John this, John that. John's got honours. No one's going to beat John. John. Right? And to be fair, you were tipped for stardom from the very start. You know, it's true. You were singled out. Obviously, you are very, very talented and you're a brilliant actor. I mean, I'm not just saying that because you're my mate. It's a fact, right? You're... CV is ridiculous. It's true. I'm sick of it, really. You know what I mean? Blackpool was, as you say, a special time. And for me, what stands out is your tweed jacket. Do you remember? Do you remember you looked a bit like Rick Astley?
Yeah, yeah. Well, my first review, if you remember, my very first review I had in the newspaper in... for West Side Story was Rick Astley lookalike makes a convincing riff. That was it. All that work. I mean, talk about formative years. I mean, there were, you know, we spent a lot of our formative times together.
Yeah, we did. But I just wanted to start off with some kids' questions. So, Frieda would like to know, if you were a cartoon character, what cartoon character would you be?
Yes. Very good. I don't know, which one would I be?
Tintin?
Because of the nose.
No, it's not the quiff, love, it's the quiff.
The quiff and the nose, yeah. It could be Tintin.
Yeah, no.
Tintin's quite a good call.
Really?
I don't know. Sylvester the cat? Tweety Pie? I don't know, actually. My favourite one was always Droopy.
Why, John? Why?
Because
yes,
I just thought he was funny. He was a funny little hang dog, wouldn't he? He was a little dog.
Yeah.
And I just liked his voice. He used to go, "Hello, Joe, boo," and he used to just turn up. Like, he used to make me laugh.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Which one would I be? Yeah, probably Tintin. I think you were bang on there, kid.
Really? Okay. Well, that's a wonderful answer. Second question from Vinny, and this is brilliant. What does your football kit look like?
What does mine?
Yeah, it's specifically. What does your football... Because he's got this thing that everyone has got a football kit and everyone wears it sort of day in, day out. Do you know what I mean? The same way that he does. So what does your football kit look like?
Well, I've got one actually, but I don't... Obviously, I haven't played for many years because of dodgy knee.
Yeah.
So I don't really play, but I do wear my football, really sadly.
Yeah.
I wear it to the gym and to when I'm training and often when I'm sat watching the game. It's just a Manchester United home top.
What? You support United, do you?
Yeah.
Wow, okay. Well, you know that I'm a Liverpool fan, you know, but
no,
we somehow still get on. Okay, well, look, United, mate, they're still a great club. Still a great club.
Yeah.
How are you coping, mate? What's your... How are you coping?
Oh, God, just like everybody else. Some days when it's really sunny,
yeah,
it seems like a holiday. It seems great. You know, I'm at home with my family. We know, we're in very lucky positions here. You know, we've got houses, yeah, we're with our loved ones, and, you know, we've got a garden, and, you know, it could be much worse. And we've got the internet, we've got, you know, it's basically got everything.
Yeah.
But some days it's really fine, and some days it's incredibly depressing.
Yeah.
And scary. I get quite anxious sometimes with the news and just with everything.
Don't watch
but, you
the
know,
news,
getting
mate.
Getting through it, man. Getting through it, much like you. How are you coping?
Well, first of all, I don't watch the news now. I've turned
very
off
good.
All because I suddenly thought, what's the point?
Yeah,
it's like terrifying. fear. I mean, there was one point when every time I turned my phone on, I'd get like a notification from Sky News in particular that basically seemed to want to give me a heart attack.
Yeah,
no, it'd be like there's no ventilators. Spain's on its knees. Italy warns us.
I don't know.
Yeah.
China. That's all that China.
And the thing about China is that I actually predict here, this is me predicting something, right? China will come up with the vaccine.
Well, that'd be nice.
Yeah. That's what I think. Yeah. And I would hope that they don't make trillions and trillions from it. I would hope that they would go, all right. Because there is talk that it's... Yeah, go on, have it, mate, go on. Because there's talk that it's... that, you know, perhaps it started in July.
It's Groundhog Day and we're dealing with it,
oh,
aren't we?
God,
it's,
yeah. Have you got any tips, mate? What's your survival tips? Have you got any tips from Netflix? Some of my back catalogue?
Yeah, I mean, you know, everybody... I mean, Netflix have done very well, haven't they? Netflix and Zoom.
Oh, my God,
you
Zoom.
You know, there are some winners.
Yeah.
No, my tips were, I mean, I finished watching Better Call Saul, Ozark, did all that.
Yeah.
All great. And then I've been reading mainly, to be honest. I've watched some stuff on that. I watched that, To Get a Footy Fix. I watched that Sunderland Till I Die. Have you seen that?
I've not seen that. What's that about?
Oh, it's good, man. It's just a documentary about Sunderland. You know when they went down from the Premier League?
Yeah.
They went down and they were expected to go straight back up again. So they're in the Championship and then they went down again.
Oh my God, that is so
good. Chris Coleman came in as the manager, and it's just a back, you know, behind the scenes documentary about that. And then they went down again. It's just like, it's like watching a slow motion car crash.
Oh,
you can't look away. But it's fascinating, and it's a little bit of a football fix, you know.
That sounds amazing, actually.
So that's pretty good. That it's pretty good to watch, and also I watched that Michael Jordan thing, which was great. The Last Dance, that was good.
The Last Dance.
The Last Dance. It's about the Chicago Bulls in the '90s. That was really.
Do
good.
You know what? Yeah. I think I've seen that. Is that a Netflix thing?
Yeah.
Because that's what's mad about Netflix. You know, I mean, I've done the Ozark. I've done the Better Call Saul. I've done the Crown. Actually, have you watched the Crown?
The Clown.
My diction. Red lorry, yellow lorry. The Crown.
Oh, The Crown.
Have you seen that?
Weirdly, actually, I've watched all of The Crown, but I didn't watch this one with Olivia. I should watch
Mate,
it, actually.
She's brilliant, actually. What the thought of her playing the Queen doesn't seem to work in your head before you see her, but she's brilliant, mate. She gives the Queen real emotion.
Yeah.
Do you know what
she's
I mean?
Great. Yeah, I will watch that actually. It's a good call.
Yeah, she's absolutely fabulous.
Fabulous.
So, I want to talk a little bit about your career.
Yeah.
Yes, yes, yes. I mean, it seems to me that your breakthrough was the legs. Am I right? Would you say that was a breakout kind of performance?
Just before that was Cracker.
Yes,
so
Cracker.
I did that Cracker episode, and that's how I got the legs, I think.
Really? Okay.
My episode of Cracker was written by Paul Abbott. So it was a double whammy. So I was on his radar and Jimmy McGovern's radar just in one go.
Yeah.
And that was like 95 or something like that. 4 or 5. And then after that, yeah, the legs. So I guess the legs, yeah, I guess so. That was like prime time BBC One, like mid 90s. Yeah, I guess it is the legs. You're right, yeah.
Well, that's what I would think. I mean, of course, you've absolutely worked non-stop since. I mean, you really have. I mean, I think you're the hardest working actor in showbiz, John. I mean, and no, and I'm not just saying that because I do respect that totally, because I know what a slog acting on film can be. I mean, it can be quite boring, right?
Yeah.
And especially if you're playing the lead and you're in, like, you know, like, say you're doing The Lakes or you're doing Life on Mars, it's like, what, 3, 4, 5, 6 months?
I mean, Life on Mars did me in. I mean, Life on Mars was the reason I went back to theatre, because that was exceptionally grueling, I would say, because I was, you know, even though I was in Manchester, my family was in London, kid was young, you know, I was away for 6 months of every year, like 5 days a week, 6 days a week sometimes. And in every single scene. So I had no chance. All the preparation went out the window. It was all I could do to learn the lines in time for them.
Really?
That was a tough one to do.
That's
but,
mad.
You know, after that, you know, anything's easy, because he was in every scene. He was just really mad. So that sort of did me in a bit. And then I just lost all kind of, you know, when the red light goes on the camera, I didn't feel anything at all. I was kind of like, oh. It's just a slog, this. It's just really hard.
Well, mate, well, it is. I mean, it is. Yeah. But listen, you were great in it. So I suppose it's your instinct then just kicks in, right? And your pride,
Doing your job, get on with it. And, you know, don't get me wrong, I love the job. I love the part. Yeah. Loved everybody involved with it. It was just hard, you know. But, I mean, you know, it's difficult as an actor to say that your job's hard, because it isn't. I mean, it's fun. But the hard bit is the waiting around, all the other stuff that's not the acting, I think.
You're very relaxed on camera, and you can tell you're in control. There's no, do you know what I mean? There's no fear in your eyes. Whereas, say if you're a actor that's, you know, perhaps been out of work for a while and you get a big break.
I enjoy the acting bit. It depends what the part is, you know. I enjoy the few minutes that it takes to, you know, do the acting. It's just the whole process. It's because it's all out of a sequence, and, you know, you're just a cog in a wheel, aren't you? And it's out of your hands mainly. You know, when it's gone, you know.
Yeah.
It's just, and also I'm usually away from home, which, I mean, this is weird, because I've been stuck at home, and all I ever want is to be at home.
But, yeah.
And I am at home now, but so it's like I'm completely the other way. Now I'm desperate to go work.
Well, you've got.
I find theatre much more rewarding. Definitely. I'm so glad I went back into theatre. In my mid-30s, because otherwise I would have been terrified, and I was terrified anyway. But ever since then, I've done it most years, I think, and that's been great getting back onto it. Which is, you know, the reason we did it in the first place, Craig. That's why we did it, isn't it?
It is. I think I've pretty much, well, I've seen most of your plays and your performances. I think I've got my. Well, I mean, it's tough, actually, because you've done so much good work, you know. But one of my favourites was. Elling,
yeah. It was straight after Life on Mars. That was the first thing I did after, I think.
But, I mean, I remember that just being like, wow, because it was very funny for a start. But was there a bit of Yat in there? Yat Malgram?
It was.
our old teacher that we talked about at the start. Have you had an accident?
Yeah.
So you channeled Yat, didn't you? It was brilliant.
We should say, shouldn't we? I don't know. We went to the Drama Centre, which was run by Christopher Fettes and Malmgren.
Yeah,
you have to Google them.
Yeah, they were geniuses, right?
There was a lot of Yat in that, and Christopher came to see it.
What did he say? What did
he
say?
Wrote me a long letter afterwards saying Yat would be very proud. And you're playing a Norwegian or whatever, you know. He was very. He must have seen the fact I've based a lot of it on.
Well, listen. I mean, it was great, and yeah, you know, in the times that I done a play, you know, and it hasn't been that often, but actually, when I do get on the stage again, yes, it's like, oh my god, you know what I mean? I've missed this, you know, that
it's
laughter
what
from
we do,
the,
isn't it?
Well, yeah, I mean, because you get an immediate response, don't you?
Yeah, I mean, you know, don't get me wrong, it's terrifying. Every time I say yes to a play and I stand there on opening night. Why?
You see, this is what people don't realise about us actors. Do you know what I mean? That they just, a lot of people who don't know what actors are like, I think they just think that we've got all this confidence and we can get up on stage and do that. You know what I mean? Like, we must be bulletproof. And it's absolutely the opposite, isn't it?
Oh, no, yeah, absolutely the opposite. It's terrifying.
It is
terrifying.
I mean,
actors are very sensitive people, but also quite brave, and they have to have thick skins, you know?
Yeah.
It's, you know, it's not what people think, you know. But then again, let them think what they like.
Yeah. Knowing you, you know, for all this time, I can genuinely say that you are a very private person. And actually, the level of fame that you have and that you've achieved must be in some ways quite strange for you, I would imagine. Do you know what I mean? Because I don't think, you know, you are a purist, you know, it's about the acting, it's about the craft. And of course you wanted to do well, but how do you deal with the fame, with the mithering?
I guess it's not a massive amount. And secondly, it's been there for so long. I'm like, you know, I'm 50 this year. It's like the Lakes was, I was what, 25 or something?
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm sort of kind of used to it on a certain low level, and it'll build up. It depends what you do, you know, Human Traffic or State of Play or Life and Mob, or Doctor Who, you know, certainly.
Yeah.
It'll flare up again, and you're there, and then you're out of the public eye. And I think that, you know, you can avoid it. I just make sure I don't go on any sort of quiz shows. I mean, I did do one recently, actually, because the first time I'd ever done one was Would I Lie to You? But I don't think actors should become celebrities. I think it's difficult for them after that to convince people that they're playing this character. I think if you're a celebrity as an actor,
Make
your job is so much more difficult. So when I'm not working, I just try and disappear. And you can swerve it. You know, I just don't get into trouble and don't go to the places where all the press are. I mean, you know, it's easily done. But you're right, it doesn't sit easy with me. I didn't ever think about it, or it was never a priority that I want to be really famous.
No, they didn't really.
I just wanted to be an actor.
Yeah, but you know, I mean...
But we all did, didn't we? That's what
yes, we did. But if I'm completely honest, I did want that fame, if I'm honest. And when I got it with Queer as Folk, I remember thinking, I don't want this. I don't like this. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, it doesn't sit well with me either. It's not a natural thing. I don't like it. And it's like that thing you're saying, you know, we're not extroverts. You know, my extrovert thing is being on stage and or doing the job. But in real life, you know, in everyday life, it's certainly not the case. It's very private, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. You've got it right then. Do you know what I mean? It's the right balance. For God's sake, don't do Strictly. Oh boy.
No, I'm not going to do that.
Oh boy. Well, I mean, all I'll say is at least I got to Blackpool.
You did. And that was a great thing, you getting to Blackpool. That was a poetic symmetry.
John,
Craig,
talk me through it, mate. Come on. Talk me through it. Talk me through the, what was it? Was it pure comedy?
Or? Never watched it.
Oh, dear God. What, and did you watch any of my dances?
I did. I watched yours, yeah.
Which one?
I can't remember. I made Kate put yours on.
Oh, God bless
her. I didn't watch anybody else's.
Oh. Well, you know what?
Very brave, though, man. Very,
thanks for the vote. Well, it's like, I would imagine, being thrown out of an aeroplane and not knowing if your parachute is going to open.
Yeah.
Honestly. I'm surprised no one's had a heart attack.
It must be intense, all those people watching, and it's so popular, isn't it?
I remember doing this thing, right? It was a Quick Step, right? Because I don't necessarily, if someone says I'm at something, I don't necessarily choose to believe that, even though it might be staring me in the face. No, I'll prove them wrong, you know. No, I will work hard. I will prove them. I will prove that Bruno wrong that I can dance, right?
Yeah.
So we did this quick step, I think, and we were in the rehearsal, and Flavio was like, "I really think this is your dance, Craig. This is your week." And I went, "Yeah, yeah. Right. I'm going to channel Fred Astaire and Gene Kelly. Call me Fred Kelly." Right? And she went, "Okay." And I went, "Great." And she said, do you want to do something at the start? You know, like in the, you know, for the 8 beats. I went, "Yeah, give me some." She went, "Right." And we did these, like, you know, nice little quick, cool little steps, moves, you know, in the style of this Fred Kelly character. And I said, "Right." And actually, just before the dance, I'm going to point at Bruno, like in a sort of cool fashion. And she went, "Really? Are you sure?" I went, "Yeah, man, yeah, it's cool. I've got this down." So anyway, so it goes, Craig Kelly and Flavio Cacaccia, please come out for the quick step. And I was so confident, John. This was it. I was going to get a 30. I was going to prove them wrong. And I did the first bit, and I'm thinking to myself, this is going well. I'm really here. And I did my point to Bruno, and he looked at me with the most disgusted face I've ever seen. Right? And it just completely put me off. By then, I was like four beats behind the entire dance. And she had to drag me across the floor. And it was so bad that I forgot where I was. It was like Joe Calzaghe had smacked me on the jaw. And I remember, like, literally thinking, I'm going to have to walk off this dance floor live on air. I literally went, you know, like when someone's on stage, I don't know if you've ever seen it, where they completely dry,
yeah,
and the color drains from their face, and
yeah,
they look at
that,
and they look at you for help, and you sometimes you can't really help them, right? They've just got to find their way. It was like that, and I was like a second away from, I don't know, total shame. And luckily, she just lifted up my arm, lifted up my leg at the same time, and I was suddenly like back in the room. But again, pretty much the scariest thing that's ever happened to me, because in the back of my mind I was thinking, there's 9 million people watching me fail, you know.
Yeah.
Don't do it, John. Don't do it, mate, because you can actually dance and you can actually sing. If you don't mind, John, you once told me a story. And I don't know if there's a part B to this story, but me and you are possibly the world's biggest Beatles fans.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Now, I remember years and years ago, did you meet Paul McCartney, or did you have the chance to meet him?
No, I didn't meet him. I was at a Jules Holland Hootenanny once.
Yeah.
And he was there and he was playing. And Kylie Minogue was there as well, and I'd done a film in the 90s with Kylie, so I knew her a little bit.
I was very jealous about that, John, I've got to say.
It's all right, the big name drop there, Clang.
Hey, love a bit of Kylie, mate. Yeah. Don't worry about that.
And she was really lovely. Anyway, she was there, and they get you a bit pissed on those things, so I was a little bit worse for wear. And just before we filming started shooting, Kate said, Kylie's trying to get your attention.
Yeah.
And so I turned around and she was waving at me, and she was sat on Paul McCartney's knee.
And she was
beckoning me to come over.
Yeah.
And it was such a surreal sight.
Oh, my God.
Oh, that's really weird.
Yeah.
She was going, "Come here." And he, you know.
Was he bobbing his head? Right.
He was completely unaware of my existence. And Kate said, "Oh, she's sat on Paul McCartney's knee." I went, "Yeah, no, I can see that." She said, "Go over." And I went, I just completely froze.
Yeah.
And the thing that went through my head was, and it seemed sort of fairly, you know, fair enough at the time, you know, relevant. I thought, if he is even slightly flippant.
Yes.
With me.
Yes.
It'll ruin my life.
Well, yeah. Mate, I'm totally with you. I'm totally with you, mate, because I've told you this story, but I've had a couple of moments where I could have had a chat with him. One where I was at the Toucan pub, And the molecules in the air changed. It was like royalty was walking around the corner. Yeah. And Paul McCartney in his little Puma trainers was bobbing, like, really lightly. And I've never seen anyone walk the way that Paul walks. Yeah. And he just catches my eye. And I'm outside the toucan with my pint of Guinness. And obviously, my jaw was probably on the floor. And he just looked at me and he pursed his lips. He didn't make the sound, but he kind of, you know, like when they went, when they shake their head, he did that to me, right? And I was like, oh my God, I've just been sort of head wobbled by Paul McCartney. And then years later, me and Dean were at the premiere of 8 Days a Week. And Dean managed, because he knew someone who knew someone, we basically had these amazing seats, and three seats down was Madonna. You know what I mean? And these huge people, and Ron Howard. And at the very end, everyone stood up, and Ringo and Paul, like, are coming up to all these people that are in my area, shaking hands and saying, you know, hello, how are you? And I just, like you, I couldn't really shake his hand. It was almost, you know, because he's a demigod, but he looked at me. And he did the head wobble again. And I will never know what that means. I think he thinks I'm Max Beasley. Right? Anyway, you know. But you deserve it because of your talent. But also, you're a grafter, mate. You're a total grafter. And I say to anyone that will listen, like, not just about you in particular, but anyone that is the top of their game and continues to do that for a long, long time, it's not easy. And my dad always used to say to me, it's tough at the top, Craig. Do you know what I mean? To maintain.
Well, I guess all you can really hope for, I mean, there are people that go supernova overnight, you know, and it's all very different nowadays anyway. You just realise how long we've been doing it. It's so different now. But, you know, I was just lucky to get established early on. You know, it's very rare, you know, that someone will take a chance on an unknown and put him in the lead in BBC One.
Really?
Happened recently with that Normal People, that kid.
Isn't that brilliant, by the way?
Yeah, but I haven't seen it. But apparently he was great and everything. But it's rare that it happens, and I guess it's just a luck. But I guess, you know, I am hard working when I'm working. There's no doubt about that. I guess you've just got to have a lot of... There's an element of everything involved, isn't there? And just to have longevity is great for me. As long as you can sort of keep going and just make a living out of it, that's fantastic.
Well, I think I've done more than that, mate. This is one of my final questions for the end section, John. So the end is nigh, because you know, I'm sweating like John Leslie in Asda. Two quick questions, actually. I've got to ask you about your band, Magic Alex, because, again, don't want to blow smoke up your ass, but you're the reason why I stopped playing guitar. Because you were so frigging good without even trying. You were taught by your dad at an early age, right? And you practiced, and you've got a real talent, man.
Yeah, I've been doing it for years by then, though, because we had our little Hamburg years. So from when I was 11 to when I was 18, 19, I was doing the clubs every week.
That's unbelievable, John.
Performing, you know, club set.
I'd forgotten about that. I'd forgotten about was it called The Two of Us?
Us two,
that was it. Us two, I love it. Oh, mate. But, you know, so music, obviously, I mean, as I know, is huge for you.
It's the biggest thing, still the biggest thing, Craig. So, that's what I was meant to be, that's what I was going to be. That acting just came out of nowhere, really. But, yeah, without a doubt, music is, I think, man's greatest ever invention.
But you can sing, John. You've got a terrific voice. Got a very, very good voice. Boy, crazy boy, stay loose, boy, got a racket in your pocket. Anyway, you can sing, mate. Why don't you want to be the lead singer? Were you not tempted to be the front man?
No, not really, because that's that weird thing, isn't it? When I was doing the clubs with my dad, I think maybe one of the reasons I became an actor as well is I find it very difficult to be myself on stage in front of people. I get shy, I stare at the floor. You know, when I was doing the clubs, I used to just stare at my guitar neck.
Yeah.
And just be really embarrassed, you know, people staring at me and things like that. But so But when I'm acting and pretending to be somebody else, got a mask on, I'll just be fine, completely hide behind it.
Yeah.
I just find it, and that happened with the band as well. You know, I'd have people come in to see us because I was in human traffic or whatever.
Yeah.
And I would be really sort of insecure. I'd be staring at the guitar and not moving. So I didn't want to be the front man. I didn't want any. I just wanted to be in a band and itch that itch that I always had. You know, that's what I was. Felt I always should have done, and we were. I was very lucky on, you know, in a low level. I did scratch that itch, but
you played live on stage with Echo and the Bunnymen, who were one of my favourite bands.
Big tours, and we were very lucky. We had such a great time. It was a laugh, you know.
Is there a favourite job? Can you what's the most fun that you've ever had on a job?
God. I mean, favourite jobs and, like, you know, but the things that I think of the best things that I've done might not necessarily be the favourite experience. I don't know. I guess filming, I would have maybe just say Mad Dogs, because that was a laugh.
Yeah. Well, it's all your mates, right?
Yeah.
Your mates,
three really good mates and, you know, well, I mean, it doesn't get much better than that. That's like, you know, above and beyond. You kind of think, well, really lucky here to be doing this. You know, to be doing this for a living is really lucky.
I guess that you would say Mad Dogs.
Yeah, that was just, because it's just a no-brainer. Isn't
it? And it was a great job. Yeah, I mean, like, you got very well paid and your mates.
On any of our shoulders, usually, you know, one of us will be the lead in it.
Yeah.
So there was no pressure of that. It was four of us, and it was just a fun gig.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it looked brilliant, mate. I mean, it looked like almost a perfect job.
It kind of was, yeah.
So my final little thing now, mate, I do a little section called Lockdown Lock-In, because I think we're all missing, you know, our pub and, you know, the end of the night. So try and imagine yourself slightly squiffy, arm in arm, singing your favourite song, and we will sing it together, mate. Just a glorious 30 seconds. Are you up for that?
So, okay.
Yeah?
Well, the first verse.
What's your favourite song, John? Come on. I'm not psychic.
Very difficult to choose a song. It would be a Beatles one, but I think with all these things you have to take the Beatles out of the equation, because otherwise you'd just be singing your 30 favourite songs would be 30 Beatles songs.
Yeah.
If I'm going to do that and take them out of the equation, I would say The Summer Wind by Frank Sinatra.
Mate,
I know it's one of your favourite songs.
Mate, that is my favourite song.
Yeah.
So, did you know that was my favourite song?
I do think I remember us singing it together on numerous occasions, yeah. I mean, we were into that song. I tell you why we were into that song.
Why? Go on.
We're really into Mickey Rourke.
And
it was the opening song in The Pope of Greenwich Village.
Was that what it was? Was that what it was? Oh my God.
As Mickey Rourke's getting ready, they play it. And I think that's the first time we heard it. And we were obsessed with that film. We were obsessed with him.
Yeah. Do you know I met him? You know, I've met him. Mickey Rourke.
He met you.
Well, do you know what was really nice about it? I met him with Joe Calzaghe, and, you know, he's a big sort of mate of his. And it was about like 4 or 5 years ago. And my mate Joe went, this is Craig. And I was meeting Mickey Rourke, one of my heroes from back in the day. And he was really, really lovely. And Joe went, oh, you know, Craig, he should be big in Hollywood. And he just looked at me and he went, what's stopping you, kid? And it was just, I thought, quite a lot, actually, but, you know, cheers for the big up, you know what I mean? Okay, mate, look, here we go. Okay,
thank you, I think, thank you.
So it's the lower one, I think, right? You ready? I want you to start me.
The
summer wind
came blowing in from across the sea.
It lingered there
to touch your hair and walk with me all summer long. We sang a song
and then we strolled that golden sand.
Two sweethearts and the summer wind.
Amazing, John.
That'll do, won't it?
Mate, it's absolutely... I was literally about to burst into the next bit and I thought, no, be cool, Craig, be cool.
No, leave them wanting more. Leave them wanting more.
Yes. John, you're an absolute... You're a legend, mate. You're a legend. You're a star. Thank you so, so much for doing this, mate.
No, my pleasure, me old mate. It was just really nice to talk to you.
Yeah, it was great to catch up.
Yeah.
I will go and tell myself off and I will speak to you anon.
Indeed. Stay safe, mate. Lots of love to the family.
You too, brother. Yours too, mate.
All right.
Lots of love, John.
Lots of love, mate.
Take care, love. Bye.
Bye.
Next time on Kelly's Heroes, I speak to my old mate, the excellent actor that is Maxton Beasley, live from LA. Until then, stay safe, stay happy.